you're in the home 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Good Monday morning to everybody out there watching on the live stream. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel here. And we're going to recap not just week three of the preseason, which is now officially over, but unfortunately, a busy week in terms of news, Matthew, and it's not even the NFL's regular season yet, and we've already lost three first- or second-year running backs to season-ending injuries. Just brutal.
It's awful, and it's one of those things that's like, you know, I was just on Greeny, on Mike Greenberg's radio show, and he asked me, you know, this came up because he was doing a fantasy draft with his son, and his son drafted J.K. Dobbins, and he was just like, asking for advice on that. And I said, I would love it if I would tell you, like, you know, hey, this is the last injury that we're going to see. But it's unfortunate. The NFL is a violent game, and there's going to be more injuries, and there's going to be more opportunities for backup players.
Yeah,
and
no doubt about it.
I mean, you know, so it's awful. And, I said this on Twitter. I did this last night. I did a reaction video to the J.K. Dobbins injury. The unfortunate part of our job, and we are all lucky to get to do this, you know, as Ernie Johnson said, right, this is a get-to job, not a have-to job, right? This is a get-to job, and we get to do this. And so, but it's a very lucky job, but the unfortunate part of it is that when there are injuries in the NFL and when young men see their dreams sort of crumble and they, you know, they suffer adversity, as J.K. Dobbins did yesterday, we have to, you know, be transactional about it on some level and say, hey, this is the fantasy impact of that, because when there's NFL news, no matter how unfortunate, there's a fantasy impact to it, and that's what we do. So it's absolutely brutal. You hate to see it. And it's not just the running backs. Like, you know, Irv Smith, the promising young tight end, yep, also hurt. T.Y. Hilton. Like, I mean, it's like on and on and on and on. And so it's a shame, but it keeps our friend Stefania employed.
And let's get to those injuries that Matthew just teed up and a few more. And Stefania, let's just go to Baltimore. I think most people know the headline right now involving J.K. Dobbins, but fill us in with the latest on what you know and the prognosis for him beyond this season.
Well, it was reported by Adam Schefter that he tore his ACL and he's done for the year. So that's the immediate part that we know. But if you watch the injury on video, and we always look at the mechanism because it can tell us things. He had that hit to the leg, which forced his knee into hyperextension. And there are a number of structures that can get involved by a hyperextension injury. One of the complicating factors, unfortunately, for Dobbins is that his foot was planted on the ground. So that means there's no give at the ankle and the knee takes the brunt of it. And if you go back and look at it closely, the defender comes in slightly at an angle. So he's not going straight back. He's actually going towards the back outside corner. And that means there can be more structures involved. And they often don't know the extent of it until they get in there for surgery. So I would say stay tuned, because as we've seen with players coming back this year, not all ACL injuries are created equal, and we'll update it as soon as we know more.
And so we'll know more about his 2022 and beyond outlook, but we have seen, speaking generally, a lot of running backs come back and at some point look like themselves. A promising second season for J.K. Dobbins, unfortunately, will not take place. So Matthew, as you said, it's not always easy to do so, but I think people understand that there is a part of our work that is analyzing the fallout from significant injuries. And that leads us to Gus Edwards, the presumptive next man up in Baltimore. And he's the Gus Bus. He's well known because he has been a part of their backfield for several years now. He earned a contract extension this offseason, so the Ravens have long valued Gus Edwards. He was right around running back 50 prior to this news in our consensus rankings. Following the injury to J.K. Dobbins, how much do you value, or how do you value Gus Edwards for this season?
I think well. You know, we always talk about, hey, follow the money, right? I mean, that extension, I think there was some perception, at least among fantasy players, that Gus Edwards was just sort of a guy, right? And the Ravens certainly did not treat him as such. The Ravens gave him, you know, a very nice extension in the offseason, make sure he stuck around. I ranked him running back 23.
Okay.
So here's the positives of Gus Edwards, right? He's going to get the majority of the running and rushing for the Ravens. In the last 9 years, there's only two teams in the NFL that have rushed the ball over 50% of the time. The 2020 Ravens, the 2019 Ravens. Now, obviously, Lamar Jackson skews a bunch of that. Okay, let's be clear. But if you take Lamar Jackson out of it and you just look at running backs over the last 2 years, Ravens are seventh in running back rush attempts and sixth in red zone running back rushing attempts. So their running backs do get a lot of work, both in close and in general. And Gus Edwards is going to get the majority of that. He's going to get all the goal line work, at least what Lamar Jackson doesn't take, on an offense that I think is going to be in scoring position quite often behind a good offensive line. Now, here's the challenge with Gus Edwards. He doesn't catch any passes.
Ever.
Right. He's just not involved in the passing game. He's a north-south runner. And so I think that limits his upside. But I think there's a volume play. And I think, assuming health, I would be surprised if he doesn't have double-digit rushing touchdowns this year.
Maybe.
I think he gets to 10.
Okay, yeah, so I think that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take 10 rushing touchdowns to get where you have him at RB23. I initially had him at RB32, bumped him up all the way to RB29. So I'm not super optimistic, because it's going to take one of two things from Gus Edwards to be a top 25 running back this year. It's going to take either 10 or 12 rushing touchdowns, which I hear you on the idea that like it's a run-heavy offense and they are a good team. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, it's difficult to run for 10 touchdowns in any season.
Sure.
Right. Like any player other than Derrick Henry, basically. Right. Like it's much more the outlier than it is the expectation in a given season. There's a chance he gets to 10 rushing touchdowns. It'd have to be on top of probably a minimum of like 900 or 1,000 receiving yards. Because here's a trivia question for you. To
rushing
extrapolate
yards,
that point. Excuse me. Rushing yards. To take your point one step further.
He won't get to 900 receiving yards in his career.
Yeah. If he played for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
How about this? He's played in 43 games in his career.
Yeah.
43. How many catches do you think Gus Edwards has in 43 games?
Five.
Wow, that's a few more than that, but not much. 18.
Wow.
18.
Yeah.
And so it's not just like the number of catches, Matthew. It's like the kind of passing game usage that you are getting from Gus Edwards, right? Is that Christian McCaffrey, if he put an 8, well, I guess now you could just wear, if he just became number 2 and not 22, you could play him a wide receiver and probably look pretty darn good, right?
Sure, sure.
Gus Edwards, the passing game usage is going to probably be exclusively screens and maybe an occasional dump off.
Right.
Such limited upside in a running back in PPR scoring that doesn't catch the ball at all. You either have to be an alien like Derrick Henry, even Nick Chubb. Like Nick Chubb is hard to rank higher than where we have him at like 10 or 11, and he might have 1,400 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns this year, right?
Here's my question for you.
Okay.
Where do you have Josh Jacobs ranked?
I have Josh Jacobs ranked 22.
Okay. I said this.
Maybe 21.
Right. And I don't expect you to have your memory, you know, your rankings memorized.
We talked about him though recently, so
right,
I should know.
Yeah. Well, but just whatever, just a general area. So you have him like just outside your top 20, right? Fair.
Yep.
What's the difference, in all seriousness, what's the difference between Gus Edwards and Josh Jacobs?
Yeah.
I made this point on my Twitter video, my reaction, which is like, neither guy is involved in the passing game. I
Josh
know Jacobs
is more.
A little bit more, but not significantly.
Yeah, but like
hang
18
on.
More catches.
Okay. Okay, 18 more catches, but whatever. I mean, let me make my argument, and then you tell me where I'm wrong here.
Yep.
I think, so both guys are generally not involved in the passing game.
Okay.
Both guys need volume for fantasy success. Mm-hmm. My argument with Gus Edwards, better offensive line in Baltimore than in Las Vegas, and a better team that is going to be leading or close more than the Raiders, where they're more likely to run the ball. I also think the Ravens as an offense are more likely to run the ball than the Raiders, just in terms of offensive philosophy.
Right.
So my argument to you is, saying health for both guys, what's the argument for Josh Jacobs over Gus Edwards?
And
so,
Gus Edwards doesn't have a Kenyon Drake behind him, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the other thing is like there's less competition.
So a couple things here.
I mean, you've got Tyson Williams, and we'll talk about him in a second.
Reasonable
minds can disagree. Josh Jacobs better runner than Gus Edwards.
Okay.
Gus Edwards is, and I mean this, I actually mean this endearingly.
Yeah.
Because we use this term way too much. When we say a player is a north-south runner, it's a cliche because you can't think of a different way to describe a guy who's not very wiggly, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not going to make you miss. He's not going to.
For the record, I'm a north-south walker.
That's correct.
That's
I'm glad for your sake, though. It's good to keep your equilibrium.
Yeah.
It's basically, if it's not up the gut, Matthew, like it's just not. Like, he wouldn't be this tremendous fit in San Francisco, like this outside zone scheme where you're pressing up and trying to find the hole. Like, he's north-south.
Yep.
I don't know the volume is going to be just he takes over all the running back volume. And Josh Jacobs last year, now again, things can change, but he got you in receiving value only, if I'm doing the math correctly, 33 plus 25.8 would get me to, 26? 59 points more Or sorry, not more. I mean, Gus Edwards had a little bit of receiving value, but he had 59 points as a receiver last year. Josh Jacobs is a good enough receiver that it has some upside. I just think it's a better player with better volume and better receiving value. I really believe that across the board.
Not going to argue with you on better player, but honestly, as we both know, better player doesn't necessarily mean fantasy value. Fantasy value is both talent and opportunity. We think Gus Edwards is talented. He may not be more talented than Josh Jacobs, but we think he has talented. I would argue with you on the opportunity because I think he's going to actually get as much, if not more, work than Josh Jacobs, to the point they paid Kenyon Drake a lot of money, and that's going to be more of that's more of a pass happy team than the Ravens are. That's also a much worse defense than the Ravens. They're going to be in a lot more shootouts.
Yeah, like, I mean, however,
you ain't running the ball against Kansas City 20 times if you want to stay with the Chiefs.
However, last year a lot of those same things applied. Josh Jacobs, third most touches per game in the NFL, and tied for the lead in goal to go rushes. So
for his career. For his career, in games in which Josh Jacobs does not get 20 touches, he averages 10.6 fantasy points per game.
Yeah.
He is, when he doesn't get insane volume, he is very pedestrian through his career. And that's a 16-game sample. Thirsty Kyle, keep me honest if I have those numbers wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right. In 16 career games where he gets under 20 touches, he's averaging 10.6.
How about this, though? But I noticed you have Gus Edwards one spot ahead of Josh Jacobs this
season. Yes, that was purposeful.
You want to make a board bet?
I'm down for making a board bet.
Love the idea. I say Josh Jacobs outscores Gus Edwards in fantasy this season.
I say Gus Edwards outscores Josh Jacobs in fantasy this year.
Put it on the board.
Thank you. All right.
I just want a board bet. That's exciting to me.
For what it's worth, I just think Mark Andrews' value continues to go up.
Stefan, you break the tie here. Josh Jacobs versus Gus Edwards.
We did Raiders the other day, and I was high on Josh Jacobs. So people who watched the other day probably know that I would sit on the Josh Jacobs side of the bet.
Daniel, break the tie.
I think it was Stefania is playing the middle. She's being Switzerland.
No, you
as
asked.
Typical.
I didn't play the middle.
It's all right, Stefania. You don't have to make a choice.
Okay.
Just go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead, break the tie here.
I think that round was a split decision, Matthew.
Right.
I think it goes to both of you. So no points are awarded. And in fact, we're all actually dumber now having to listen to you two idiots.
No one's willing to make a call. Thirsty Kyle, make a call here. Stop it, Daniel. Thirsty Kyle, make a call here.
Gus Edwards, I think, wins.
There you go. Thirsty Kyle definitively is
that's a fear pick right
there.
No, I like Edwards.
Two ties. It's 2-1 me on the field with two ties.
Okay.
Thank you, Thirsty Kyle.
Fear pick right there. Let's keep on moving to the news, and let's be quick here because there is no fantasy value for the player traded. That being Gardner Minshew, who's been shipped off to Philadelphia in exchange for a conditional 6th-round pick, so the mullet moves to Philly. I think the most important piece of context here is that I have a new Halloween costume this year, so I can just swap out the Jaguars jersey and headband for a Kelly Green Philadelphia Eagles uniform.
You could just Photoshop it.
No, I'm going to just
come back
and I'm going to shave my legs this year because I don't want to get the internet shaming.
Oh, yes, please.
Wait, dude. You want to borrow some?
Your poor
wife. My hair met on my legs met your head, we'd have a more normal...
If we could figure out, there's some doctor out there that could figure out how to take the Fields leg hair and transfer it onto my head. That would be...
It's so creepy and wrong.
Future keeps product, by the way.
That would be helpful to both of us.
Manscaped would be able to take the hair off, and then we'll use the Keeps product to be able to help put it on tonight.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
That would be known as a win-win.
Okay.
That would be one known
We'd all
as a...
lose. Okay.
I'll ask you quick, though, Matthew. Any fantasy value here?
I don't think there's any fantasy value to Gardner Minshew going to Philadelphia, but it does make you wonder how confident, and I use confident loosely, the Eagles... I'm all in on Jalen Hurts this year. I think he's going to have a monster fantasy season. I'm as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. But you do wonder if the Eagles are maybe hedging their bets a little bit by... Because they have Joe Flacco, who is, you know, whatever.
Not
a professional quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, right? No, a veteran quarterback, obviously, who's had a lot of success in this league. It's been a bit, but whatever. Joe Flacco is a professional quarterback. And they trade for Minshew, who's a younger player. With a little bit of upside, you know, inconsistent, but certainly has shown flashes in his young career. So you just wonder if the leash on Jalen Hurts is more short than we may have anticipated.
What a weird, interesting quarterback room in Philadelphia right now. Jalen Hurts, Joe Flacco, and Gardner Minshew. How about that? Just a, hey, anyways.
That's a team photo you want to see.
Seriously. Great hair across the board there.
Across the
If Jalen had,
and they have a fourth guy too. If I'm forgetting who
they released, Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins. Okay, yeah. That was it. I knew they had another name. Yeah, so, there. Exactly.
I think Nick will latch on somewhere. We have more news coming in just a bit, including more game recaps. But first, join me and my friends Mike Clay and Daniel Dopp for a virtual live mailbag podcast recording where we'll answer your question. Save the date for next Wednesday, September 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll hop on a Zoom for a virtual live show presented by our friends at Geico, Body Armor, NFL Sunday Ticket.
Registration is required and space is limited, but the event is totally free, and we're going to spend the entire time answering the questions that you guys submit when you register.
Register at bit.ly/fantasyfocus91. That's all lowercase, bit.ly/fantasyfocus, and then the number 91.
We really hope you guys will join us next Wednesday, September 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern for our virtual live mailbag show with me, Mike Clay, and Field Yates, presented by Geico, Body Armor, and our friends at NFL Sunday Ticket.
Let me clean one thing up because I'm not good at reading. When we say next Wednesday, we mean like 2 days from right now.
Oh, this Wednesday.
But we didn't say the date as well. So Wednesday, September 1st is this Wednesday, not next
that's
Wednesday.
On that's not that's no, that, no. Not, I you are great well, at reading I should have that's on me
I don't read well we'll get back to football in just a second, but I gotta take a moment to say happy birthday to my lovely, wonderful, patient, strong, courageous, and perhaps delirious wife for marrying me, Chapin, who turns 30 today. Today should be a national holiday as far as I'm concerned.
Happy birthday to Chapin.
I shouldn't be
working. You know what
right
you
now.
Should do? You know what your birthday gift should be to
okay.
Chapin?
What's that?
Is you should shave your legs. So she doesn't have to, at least tonight, she can have one night of peaceful slumber without those, you know, beastly limbs of yours rubbing up against her under the blankets.
Let's be clear.
That poor thing, like, she's just like, I feel so bad for her.
And she's so sweet.
By the way, here's the other thing about Chapin. Like, for people that have never met Chapin in person, Chapin is petite. She is, you know what I mean? So like
growing these days.
I understand. She's certainly growing in her belly, but she's all belly. She's going to be all belly, I think, as a pregnant woman. And just whatever. Like, you know, as we've established, you're a big guy. You're like 6'3", I think, what we've decided. Wow. Right? Whatever.
6'3" on the roster, which means like 6'5". I measure down. Yeah.
I'm just saying, poor Chapin probably gets like a sliver. She's probably like on the edge of the bed trying to escape, you know, those Sasquatchian legs of yours.
Right.
And, you know, that poor thing. Yeah, I'm just saying for her birthday.
Right.
That's my suggestion.
If she has an alternative that she probably would prefer, which would be me
you
just
on
like
the couch?
Sleep. Yes, exactly. Right. Correct. We have guest bedrooms, so I can go sleep in one of those
there
instead.
You go. But, you and Cisco in one of the guest bedrooms.
Oh, no, she wants Cisco in bed with her.
Okay,
you kidding me? That's her happiness right there.
All right,
it's very clear where I stand for now in the pecking order.
Understood.
3.5. I'll be 4 soon, but 3.5 right now. It's not even a question mark
as to
where I rank amongst the other people in our home. Chapin, I love you. Happy birthday. Cannot wait to celebrate later.
Aw.
Let's get to the Vikings and the Chiefs, which there were games both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. So we'll start Friday night. Chiefs win 28-25, and we briefly saw Patrick Mahomes. I'm here to tell you that Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill are all good to go for this season. Stefania, we also saw Irv Smith, and he was moving and cruising on Friday night. And then we find out yesterday that he's hurt. What's up?
Yeah, I had Irv Smith as one of my sleepers for the season. I was really excited to see him doing so well. Unfortunately, has a meniscus injury, now is expected to undergo surgery that's going to at least cost him the start of the season. The challenge is we don't know how much time, and it depends really what they do in there with this injured meniscus. If it's just what they call a debridement or a trim, it can be as little as a few weeks. If it's an actual repair, it can sideline him for multiple months. So again, we should have a better idea once surgery has taken place.
All right. So probably a couple months for Irv Smith. So I think, Matthew, that because of this news and the uncertain timeline for now, you have to probably punt on Irv Smith as a redraft target. Is that correct?
I think that if you're talking about a couple months, Stefania.
Maybe, like, potentially a couple
potentially.
Months.
Potentially.
Yeah. Potentially a couple of months. Like, you know, like he was a breakout candidate that we thought. Like, you know, suddenly Tyler Conklin is now, like, if you want a late round flyer at tight end. But we are, it's interesting, right? I had said previously, and I'm going to pivot off of Irv Smith for a second, just to talk about the position as general for people that are still drafting. And we've got a lot of drafts here over the next, 2 weeks or so.
Very much so.
That, I was saying in my drafting manifesto, it was like, hey, I either want to be one of the first people in my league to draft a tight end or one of the last.
Right.
And, but, because you think about some of the later round tight after the big names, right? Irv Smith was going like in the, 8 to 12 range. So he wasn't as deep a name as others, but like Adam Trautman, right? Now he's banged up. Anthony Firkser, who we thought might take over that Jonnu Smith role, at least in the preseason, he's been rotating with a couple of guys. Like, it doesn't look like that's the thing that's going to happen. I know you're high on Jonnu Smith, but Hunter Henry is still there. Like, I think I want one of those first seven tight ends. Like, I want Kelsey, Waller,
Kittle,
Andrews, Logan Thomas, Hockenson, definitely Hockenson. I have Hockenson at four. And then you got Kyle Pitts, and then
Dallas Goedert.
No, because Zach Ertz is still on the Eagles. Yeah. Like, I mean, part of the reason I was high on Goddard is because I thought Zach Ertz would be on another team by now, right? Yeah. And so, like, I like the idea of Higbee, like, have him as a sleeper. I like the idea of Gerald Everett in Seattle. But by the way, Will Dissly can play. Like, I think people are going to be surprised, or shouldn't be, but like, Will Dissly can play, and they like Will Dissly in Seattle. So, it starts getting a lot more thin than I think people thought. Even Cole Kmet, who we all like, Jimmy Graham's still there. Like, right. He's going to take some, enough snaps away to be annoying for those that roster Cole Kmet. And
Jasper Horton had three touchdowns this weekend.
Right. I mean, right. Well, whatever.
Where'd he go to school?
From?
Princeton.
Yes,
University.
Princeton. That's right.
There you go. Go Tigers. But, right. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think for people that drafted a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, early in August, I think the tight end position suddenly looks a lot different than it did. You got Noah Fant. I mean, I think we all like Noah Fant, but suddenly that's with Judy and Sutton and Hamler, like there's and Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon in the backfield, suddenly there's weirdly a lot of mouths to feed in what should be a low volume offense in Denver.
So next time that we have, let's clip this conversation, because the next time some random tight end has like six catches in a game, we discuss him on Monday, and I'm like, he fits into this big old category of tight ends that like could once in a while be pretty sweet, and then otherwise will probably be like pretty low volume and not that relevant for fantasy every single week. We'll reference back to this conversation.
Fair enough. Is Tyler Conklin worth a flyer?
Nah, I mean, if you get stuck and there's literally no one else available, maybe, but I got to figure there are at least 20 options better than him right now in drafts. Because what if Irv Smith is back in 4 weeks, right? Then you're going to be kicking yourself for using a pick on Tyler Conklin, who, good athlete, nice player, but not exactly a game changer in
fantasy. What is the range, Devine? So you think it could be 4 weeks to a couple of months? Like, what is the...
We see in a meniscus debridement, I mean, the earliest we've seen people come back is a couple of weeks, but you're not going to start a long season rushing it. So I would say you look to give it the outer boundary, like 4 to 6 weeks, but if you do a repair, you're talking more than 3 months,
when we have more information,
there's
we'll
certainly
pass
a
along.
Lot more risk to drafting Irv Smith in redraft this year than there was a couple of days ago. I agree with you, Field. I mean, like, only in the deepest of leagues and only where you have an IR spot.
All right, I want to keep going in just a second, but before we ask Stefania about T.Y. Hilton, the latest on his health concerns, do you own or rent your home?
Sure you do.
Dang it, you knew what I was going to say. I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
You know what I came home to the other day?
Your family?
Yeah, whatever. But yes, they were there. But you know what else I came home to? I came home to a happy family. I came home to a smiling 17-year-old kid.
How come?
Because he was surrounded by boxes of body armor.
Let's go. Drink
the
body armor.
The good people at Body Armor hooked my kid up. Mm. He drinks nothing but it. And I have something that I'm supposed to read here from Body Armor, but I'm just going to tell you, there's one person that does not need to hear me say any of these words. It's my kid Connor, because he freaking loves Body Armor. Fantasy football is right around the corner. That means more of what you love, Field Yates. Mm-hmm. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, the trash-talking friends, and your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield might have a big year this year. All of them rely on body armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best, give you the trash-talking points you need. This fall is a great time to up your game as well. Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody focused on staying active and healthy. Hydration, an important part of that. It's more than a sports drink field. It's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, which is why I'm fine with my kid drinking as much of it as he wants. Mm. Now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt at www.bafootballtailgate.com. Again, that's bafootballtailgate.com. And you're going to be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 18 and older.
There were some big words in there, Matthew, and you did a pretty good job with it. I'm really proud of you.
English is my second language. Everyone knows that.
What's your first language?
Love.
Wow. Let's do the next topic.
Gonna say,
next one.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about anything.
Stefania. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton. Stefania. Yes. He's injured.
I got Stefania on that one.
What's
that
the latest?
Stefania didn't want to laugh at that one, but she did. Stefania didn't want to laugh at that one, but she did.
Stefania, what can you tell us about T.Y. Hilton?
Oh, yeah. Well, T.Y. Hilton's first language is love, too. T.Y. Hilton, 31-year-old wide receiver, now dealing with a disc injury in his neck. This is really up in the air right now. Frank Reich said he's undergoing further evaluation. They're optimistic that it's not season-ending, but they really have no idea how long he's going to be away. It's really too bad. You know, again, I was at Colts camp, and I was thinking that T.Y. Hilton looked great. And there was a lot of chatter about some of the rapport that he developed pretty early with Carson Wentz and got him feeling comfortable there before, obviously, Carson Wentz got hurt. So it's really unfortunate because, you know, here's T.Y. sort of in the twilight of his career and then dealing with a serious injury. Whenever you have a disc issue in your neck, it's significant. I will say this. One thing to keep in mind is that their director of rehab at the Colts is the one who rehabbed Peyton Manning after he had his disc issues in his neck and his surgery. So it's not like they aren't familiar with it, but I'm not saying that T.Y. is headed for surgery. I'm just saying that he's in a good spot.
I think what you're saying here is that when T.Y. Hilton comes back, he's going to throw 55 touchdowns.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's what you're saying.
For the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And win a Super Bowl.
And win a Super Bowl.
First time ever for him in this case. Yeah.
Congratulations,
okay, T.Y. Hilton. Broncos have started a wide receiver quarterback before.
I just always try to find a silver lining for these guys because, you know, these are tough injuries, and it's certainly disappointing, but it doesn't mean the end of the road, and I think we just have to keep that in mind.
No,
when talking
and
about
by
it.
The way, and I want to be clear, I'm just making a joke for fun, but not making a joke at T.Y. Hilton's expense. We all love T.Y. Hilton here. We're rooting for him to come back. We're excited to get him back on the field for the Colts and for fantasy. My take on this injury, Howard Field, is that look, I think Michael Pittman's a really talented player, and if I'm throwing a dart at a Colts wide receiver, it's Michael Pittman and then Zach Pascal. That's the order I would put them in.
Agree.
Having said that, though, my expectation is that this is going to be an offense that is still going to be run heavy and run first. My expectation is that's going to be a pretty good defense and they're not going to be in a ton of shootouts. And that Carson Wentz is going to spread the ball around. And so, you know, the idea that suddenly because T.Y. Hilton is out for an extended period of time, Michael Pittman becomes this amazing alpha dog. I think he's got the talent to be. And, you know, if you told me, hey, Carson Wentz is going to, like, you know, 8 to 10 targets a game, then I'm like, I'm in on Michael Pittman because I believe in the talent. But I'm concerned about, I think he's going to be a better NFL player than fantasy player this year, given the situation in the quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't move my ranking at all, Matthew, only because it's not like Michael Pittman, where he is at rankings right now or in the rankings right now, is stuffed behind a bunch of, like, older veterans on their last legs. It's like, oh, you're trying to move Michael Pittman ahead of a player like
Jaylen
Corey
Waddle.
Davis, who's looked good
right.
as a veteran, or a Jaylen Waddle or a Devontae Smith, players who have comparable pedigree to him. There just are so many wide receivers. So let's keep things moving here. For the Rams.
I was just going to add one thing, which is that Carson Wentz is expected to be a full participant in practice. Obviously, he's been out post-foot surgery. Quentin Nelson also activated off the reserve COVID-19 list today. So you could get both of them back in practice in the 2 weeks leading up to week one.
Great news.
And I'll just say, like, you know, you were like, yeah, I agree. For people that may not have been paying attention, like, wait, what about Paris Campbell? Zach Pascal's been playing ahead of Paris Campbell so far this preseason. Again, I don't know how far down the Colts depth chart you want to be and how deep the league you're in. But just in case you're going far down that far. Zach Pascal is a nice player. They like him there. And I think my expectation is that when they go with two wide sets, it's going to be Pittman and Pascal.
And just a reminder, last year the 2020 Colts are a good example. You can have a fairly efficient and solid passing offense without a single weekly target in fantasy football. That's like a lock-it-in starter. T.Y. Hilton got hot down the stretch, but for a while, nobody in Indianapolis was a must start. All right, let's keep things moving here and go to Denver, where the Rams travel to play the Broncos. The Rams, I think more than any other team in the NFL this year, rested their starters in the preseason. The Broncos, though, did not. Teddy Bridgewater, their new starting quarterback, was on the field. And Stefania, I think I saw a tweet from yours surrounding Cortland Sutton that I think was probably the most notable takeaway from this game. What did you see from the third-year wide receiver?
Yeah, the NFL caught this great clip of him breaking inside off that left leg, the left leg being the one that he had surgically repaired from his ACL and MCL injury. And it was just the quickness with which he did it that really relayed the confidence that he had in his knee. He just made this quick break, plant cut to the inside. And I think that's one of the things that we rarely get to see highlighted. And it's one of the final hurdles for a player who's coming back. There was a lot of talk about Cortland Sutton in training camp. He'd been running routes since the spring. But by training camp, there were still some struggles that he was having. And people thought maybe he's still hesitant about the knee, which he acknowledged. And one thing that this game did for him was it showed him he could trust the knee. That's huge for him heading into week one.
And by the way, he's a fourth-year wide receiver. But still, the update from Stefania there, I think, was probably the most notable takeaway from this game. Happy to see Cortland Sutton looking closer to his old self. He's right around wide receiver 27 and 28 amongst most ESPN rankers. Let's move ahead, Matthew, to the Raiders.
I was going to say one quick thing on Cortland Sutton. And I know a lot of people are like, because if you might be more in on Cortland Sutton, a big play guy. Had Drew Locke been named the starter, Teddy Bridgewater, more of a conservative quarterback. Maybe you feel a little bit better on Jerry Jeudy, who's such a great route runner. I think Cortland Sutton is quarterback proof. Like, he's like, it's been brutal. Like, hey, it's Paxton Lynch out there. Like, I mean, Cortland Sutton has been quarterback proof throughout his brief NFL career. And so while Teddy Bridgewater, you would have liked a little bit more downfield and, you know, kind of YOLO action from the quarterback position than they have in Teddy Bridgewater, I do think that Cortland Sutton is talented enough and a big enough red zone target that I don't think he shouldn't be dropping outside the top 30 of wide receivers in any draft.
Reminds me of what some of the most notable fantasy analysts often say about players like Cortland Sutton, Daniel. Cream rises, right?
Cream rises, regardless of whether or not
you are playing with a backup quarterback, a veteran quarterback, a superstar quarterback, or a journeyman quarterback. Now let's go to
T.Y. Hilton. Future quarterback, T.Y. Hilton.
The former Bay Area battle, the Raiders traveled to their old home near San Francisco to play the 49ers. 49ers getting a win 34-10. I personally, like, the quarterbacks are what they are. They're a story. My thoughts have not really changed on Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought the most important thing here was that when the 49ers were going with their quote-unquote ones to begin this game, it was not Trey Sermon. It was not Wayne Gallman. Nobody else other than Raheem Mostert, who played every play on the opening drive, Matthew, and reminded us all that he's a thing. He's a good player. This is not some guy that, like, they weren't drafting Trey Sermon to replace some has been running back. Raheem Mostert has been phenomenal for the 49ers over the past couple of seasons when he's been on the field. Is there a chance now he's actually become a value in fantasy? Because I think there is.
Yeah, I think there really is. The concerns on Raheem Mostert aren't talent, aren't even scheme fit. It's health, right? I mean, that's the concern on Raheem Mostert. But, I mean, that offensive line, his explosiveness, and oh, by the way, whenever Trey Sermon becomes the starting quarterback of this team,
Trey Lance.
I keep doing that. Yeah, Trey Lance. Sorry. You never know with Trey Sermon. He's a versatile player.
Him and T.Y. Hilton, both. Exactly.
Sorry. Whenever Trey Lance. Whenever Trey Lance. Darn the 49ers for drafting two young, exciting players named Trey. Shout out to Trey Wingo, my favorite Trey. Look, whenever Trey Lance becomes the starting quarterback of the 49ers, Raheem Mostert, like, becomes even that much more exciting. I agree with you. Like, I've been, like, you know, I update my ranks after every sort of preseason weekend, and obviously when there's big news, like when there was the J.K. Dobbins news, I'm too low on Raheem Mostert. I'm at running back 28, and I think I'm too low on him. You have him at 25. I think you might be too low on him too, Field.
Like,
it's still going to be a committee, but he's, I think, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be the head of that committee, and that team runs so much – Remember, since Kyle Shanahan came to town, they rank fourth in running back fantasy points. They lead the rushing the league, the NFL, in rushing yards before first contact over that stretch. It's a great offensive line. You know, listen, the concern again with Mostert is health, but yeah, man. Well,
the concern is, but it's health plus the possibility
of
that
Trey Sermon. Sermon
and Jeff
He's
Wilson
the running
eventually.
Back.
Yes.
Trey Lance is the quarterback, just
That's
you
right.
know.
Yeah,
Trey
but
Sermon
I'm
is
saying
the,
it's there are
multiple
so
running
factors,
they like, yes.
But he's a really good player that yes, I think maybe dropped too far in preseason ranks.
Patriots. Yeah, his current ADP is running back 29. So you and I both have him ahead of consensus, and we both might be a little bit too low on him still.
Patriots at the Giants. The Patriots win this game 22-20. The Giants went for two in the closing seconds. Could not win, but that doesn't matter. Or could not tie it up. That doesn't matter. What matters is that Patriots have a decision to make on their quarterback is how I'll leave it right now. So Bill Belichick throughout the offseason has said, hey, Cam's our starter. Never said like he's our week one starter. He just said he's our starter. After the game last night, he was asked whether or not the Patriots had named a starting quarterback for week one. He said no, but it was sort of one of those lines like, we haven't named any starters, so it's a matter of how you interpret it, Matthew. I don't know where things are going to end up here. I tend to think it's like 52-48 in favor of Cam Newton right now for week one. All I'm saying is that Mac Jones gave Bill Belichick something to think about this preseason, and I've been saying this consistently, that any fan base of a team that drafted a quarterback in the first round feels pretty darn good right now. You know, I thought during the pre-draft process, people started to make it four quarterbacks and then Mac Jones.
Right.
Don't think that's the case.
I would agree with that. Here's my question, though, about the Cam Newton, Mac Jones, because it's a big story. It's a big story in the NFL. I mean,
fantasy-wise,
you know,
doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
Not sure it does.
Yeah, because I don't think it does, because I don't know. I don't think you're drafting either quarterback. If Belichick came out later today and said, this guy is our starter,
here
I don't know
matter,
that you're
though.
Drafting either one of those quarterbacks.
I think it does, though, actually, now that I think about it a little
second
longer.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
Cam can do more. Cam's resume, I think that I sometimes get sick hearing how like we speak of Cam, like it's as if this guy hasn't accomplished an immense amount in the league, right? The guy was a freaking MVP, took his team to the Super Bowl. At this stage of his career, though, it's clear he's a much different player, and Mac Jones is a better thrower.
Sure.
And again, whether that means it's not enough to guarantee him the week one job, he's a better thrower. That could mean good things for the likes, for not just Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, who might get there even with Cam Newton just because there are so few tight ends we talked about earlier.
Jacoby Myers.
Sure. And they spent money on Kendrick Bourne this offseason. They spent money on Nelson Aguilar this offseason. Like,
okay, but
that would help.
I hear you. So
it doesn't matter now.
That's what I'm asking.
It may matter, though, if in the middle of the season, like you're like, wow, Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne's a thing. That would be less surprising to me than Cam Newton to Kendrick Bourne being a thing.
That makes total sense. But my point is right. Are you, if Belichick comes out later today or tomorrow and names one of them the starter, are you changing how you approach the draft for Jacoby Myers, either the tight ends, any of the running backs,
maybe Jacoby
et cetera,
Myers. Maybe Jacoby Myers. Maybe. But like, I mean, like, makes me like a little bit more likely to use a late.
See, I think Jacoby Myers is a nice sleeper regardless. Like, even in a year in which, like, the passing game for the Patriots was putrid, Jacoby Myers was useful last year.
Yeah, he was.
And so I actually, for me, it's just sort of like, it's a much bigger NFL story. Like, they'll probably talk about it for a half hour on NFL Live today. But, like, to me, it's like, for fantasy, it's just sort of like, all right, let us know.
Yep.
But I don't think it affects how you approach the draft.
Daniel?
This might be getting too deep into it, but the idea that Cam Newton, who we know they love to utilize at the goal line, might not, you know, if Mac Jones starts, does that give Damien Harris a little bit of a bump up from where you're at, or do you not?
Yeah, sure. But the problem is, yes. But the problem is like, they like Stevenson, right? They like Ramondre Stevenson. They like James White. Like
preseason MVP. I voted last night.
I noticed. I saw that. Yeah. Congratulations to Ramondre.
I'm going to send him something.
Fantastic.
I'm not sure what it's going to be.
Probably a Yater's going to Yate t-shirt.
I was thinking that, but signed by Stefania. Because like the t-shirt itself doesn't have a ton of value, but if Stefania puts her ink on it,
even better.
That could be pretty legit.
I don't think players want my signature.
Did you just touch your belly?
Just because I'm wearing a draft shirt.
I thought you were just playing the drums on your belly.
No, You can get a Yater's Gonna Gate shirt at fantasylife.com. You can also get the draft shirt that I'm wearing at fantasylife.com. I'm just saying, like, yeah, that was an instinctual, like, I was just sort of calling attention to my shirt.
You're saying, like,
and then I realized
lunch.
I called attention to my dad belly. And then, you know, and what are you going
to
do?
All right, let's keep moving here because we got a lot of things to try to rip through. And we'll be quick on some of these with just about 20 minutes left in the show. But the Bengals hosted the Dolphins, and the Dolphins win this game 29-26 on a crazy end of the game play, out of nowhere miracle. But Stefania, to you, the big story again was a player who played just three snaps, but they were three important snaps.
They were, but I was disappointed that he didn't play more, to be honest. And I'm guessing that he probably was too. And that's, of course, Joe Burrow, who we've been talking about. He told me when I was at camp that he wanted to get out into a game, playing against actual defenders, because it is the ultimate test. He also wanted to take a hit. Obviously, that didn't really happen. He had one pass play. There were two running plays, and then that was it. That was the end of the series. It was planned that way. There are some things that he went through that you might not think of that actually matter. Getting dressed for the game, getting that first adrenaline of walking out onto the field. He got a standing ovation. It gets some of the butterflies out, and I appreciate that that's an important step. But I don't think we've really seen him play much football with three snaps. And now you're going to go to four quarters of competition. Joe Burrow is ready from a physical standpoint. I still think there are going to be some things that he's going to have to get through that are going to happen in the first week of the regular season.
Happy for Joe Burrow. Happy for Bengals fans who greeted them with a standing ovation. That was good to see. Don't have much to add on Joe Burrow. I kind of am where I am on him in terms of my quarterback rankings. Closer to 15 than he is to 10, Matthew. Not a guy I feel comfortable with walking out as my starter in a 10-team league. I think volume might be a little bit down this year, only because it was literally historic last year. Defense will still be bad. Wide receiver should be good. But I want to add, one thing I want to add to the Bengals is I hope for Bengals fans and for Ja'Marr Chase himself that the light switch flips and he finds his confidence. He can't catch right now. And I'm not saying he has never dealt with drops in the past. This is not a trait of his game that makes any sense to me. It strikes me as like a baseball pitcher with the yips. Yeah. He can't catch right now. And I hope he does. And when I say he can't catch, he's had four drops this preseason.
Sure.
Like, he's just got to just get it out of your system. Next play mentality. Be a baseball batter who goes 0 for 3 with three strikeouts and hits a home run.
He's lucky that he's in Cincinnati and not like New York. Not, you know, I mean, like a crazy media town.
Yeah.
I mean, because just imagine what it would be like if he was in a town like that.
Makes no sense, but...
But whatever. We all know Ja'Marr Chase is very talented, to your point. It's not in his college profile. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's going to be just fine.
Yep.
And the Bengals need him to work. And Joe Burrow, obviously, you know, the former teammates at LSU, like, Burrow's going to continue to, you know, can you give him work? But what I would say about the Bengals, and like, I don't know if you guys can, for those that can that are watching our live stream, you know what I'm doing?
Banging the table.
I am banging the table for
40.
Tyler Boyd at cost.
Ooh, ooh, interesting. Nice one right there. Nice one. I like it.
I like it.
We're going to come back in just a second, and we're going to finish up with a few more preseason games. But first, did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker right now? All this football season, Tony Romo and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at remotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit remotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. Well, what if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates to find your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review those candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your jobs, which encourages them to apply faster. It's no wonder that four out of five employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to our exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Field, do you mind if I lead into this next topic?
Please do.
I have a question that I sort of want to ask to you and Matthew, okay? All right, eyes up here. Matthew, you got me? Eyes?
Sure.
All right, appreciate this. All right, in Buffalo, Stefania, I don't need it from you, okay? Not while I'm already working with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So in Buffalo, I'm just kidding, by the way. I love you very much. Thank you, though. In Buffalo, you've got Josh Allen right now projected to throw 4,500 yards and 32 touchdowns. Do you think that that's fair? Does that seem
might be
plausible?
Conservative.
Might be conservative.
But 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns is something that
in
you're
the
making
first half, yes.
Okay.
Done.
So Stephon Diggs is going to get what, 1,510?
Obviously.
Okay, he's never had 10 touchdowns in a season, but let's just say he gets 1,510. That leaves at least 2,500 yards, at least 2,500, if not 3,000
yards,
plus 20 touchdowns on the table for one of these other Buffalo pass catchers. And we're not talking about any of them like there's something that we should be drafting in redraft leagues. Is this a situation where somebody here does have value and we're just sleeping on it? Or is it going to get spread around so much that they're just going to have equal value, you know, all getting 600 to 800 yards and 4 to 5 touchdowns?
Right. We learned this last year, didn't we?
What?
In Buffalo.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley had a nice season. John Brown had nice moments.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis had some moments here or there. Dawson Knox had a couple catches here or there. The running backs. But none of them were locking in starters in the 10-team league other than Stephon Diggs. Happens often.
I think there's a chance that Emmanuel Sanders is this year.
Yeah, these are chances.
Listen, I think that's going to be a super pass-happy offense. It would not surprise me if that team leads the NFL in pass attempts. I'm not saying it's likely, but it would not surprise me. I think they'll be among the league leaders in pass attempts. They go four wide a decent amount. And I think Sanders, from all accounts, like, again, such a professional wide receiver, I think underrated still. They didn't really use him. He was okay in New Orleans. I don't know. I think there's a chance for him to have a bit of a one last hurrah in Buffalo as the number two to Stephon Diggs.
Not confident in any of these guys as like a guarantee at number two. My biggest takeaway from the game and watching the drives in which Josh Allen was on the field is that maybe we just don't need to try to make either running back a thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, I think their first 17 plays, they threw it 16 times.
Oh, sure.
Like, that's what they're going to do. Brian Daboll's not here for your establish the run and set up play action pass nonsense.
Ooh.
Brian Daboll is here to
chuck it.
Yes, and probably cause you to wave the white flag because he's got an outstanding quarterback and he's a great offensive mind.
Can that be
coach.
Our new podcast name? It's Chuck It.
Chuck It.
Chuck It.
Chuck It. That's a great, the dogs love to chuck it.
Yeah.
Very useful. All right, let's keep things moving here. Jaguars, the Cowboys. The Cowboys basically played their backups. I'll just say this. I want Jaguars fans to get happiness. I want them to get some wins. And they had some reasons to celebrate on Saturday. I don't care. That was Sunday. I don't care that the Cowboys backups were playing. Like, Trevor Lawrence had a fantastic day. He looked very much the part, did everything you wanted him. Matthew, is he the rookie quarterback that you actually want to be drafting this year? Because I still go back and forth on this.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. And it depends on the size of your league and whether that's a starter or not. Like, is that the rookie quarterback you want to start if you're starting only one quarterback? If you're drafting only one quarterback and you need to start him week one, then yes. Because he's the only rookie quarterback that we know is guaranteed to start week one other than Zach Wilson.
Right.
And you prefer Lawrence to Wilson.
Sure.
So to that extent, yes. But we've decided, like, I think there is a chance. I've said this throughout the preseason. There is a better than average chance that Trey Lance and Justin Fields are special when they become the starters. By the way, I think there's a chance Trevor Lawrence is special from right at the gate. Like, I mean, you know, I sort of depends on what you want, but I actually think because based on scheme fit and talent around them, that Lance and Fields might finish higher fantasy points per game than Lawrence at the end of the year.
Oh, I think there's no doubt which one has the highest ceiling.
Right.
It's Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I mean, because that offense, that offensive line, those skill players and that coach.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's clear who has the highest upside. He just, he legitimately, and I know 49ers fans are going to hate this, but like, he might not, it's possible he might not start this season. Like, the rhetoric from the 49ers when they drafted him was that we believe we are a Super Bowl team and Jimmy Garoppolo can lead us there. I don't know if it's a 5% chance, but there's a chance that Jimmy Garoppolo is starting deep into the season. But if Trey Lance got the keys by week 3, then I think it's clear he has the highest upside. Trevor Lawrence is definitely the, to your point, the safest. But, you know, I still want to see more from the wideouts, and I still want to see more from the injuries already.
Right. Yeah.
And the offensive line.
Marvin Jones and DJ Chark did not play in this game, I believe. Yep. Right. Only Chenault,
who had a 10-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
By the way,
so I mean, like,
he looked like a beast though. When he gets the ball in his hands, he runs hard.
Yeah, it was good to see him get the ball a little bit down the field as well. That touchdown pass was outbreaking route. Left side was cool.
I think it is too early to bail on the Trevor Lawrence based on some preseason. You know, again, they haven't had the full offense out there. Obviously, Travis Etienne getting hurt. I want to just mention this real quickly as well. Shout out to our friend Graham Barfield. I just want to mention this real quickly, but our friend Graham Barfield had what I thought was a really fascinating tweet.
Okay.
He writes, I'm quoting here, Jaguars first team running back snaps out of the 66 plays with Trevor Lawrence on the field this preseason, which is basically a game's worth of plays. James Robinson, 33, Carlos Hyde, 28. And then he notes, of course, last year Robinson played on 70% of Jacksonville snaps, seventh most among running backs. We think James Robinson is a talented player, but volume was a huge part of his fantasy success last year. Are we overestimating the amount of volume that James Robinson is going to get? Because Carlos Hyde can still play, and again, there's a connection there between Hyde and Urban Meyer, obviously from their
days at
Ohio State.
He's going to play more. He's going to play an annoying amount is what it is, right?
Yeah.
I just hope that like they come to their senses early and that like it's a 2 or 3 week arrangement and then they're like, oh, okay, James Robinson is like decidedly better. Right. And while you are often motivated to be smart about how you handle young players in their career, running back is one of the few positions where it's like, all right, never mind. Like, we don't need to be worried about James Robinson's workload. He showed the entire NFL that last year.
But I'm just fantasy wise. Do you think people are too high on James Robinson?
I don't think so.
Because they raised him very high. Obviously, we all did.
No.
After Travis Etienne.
I'm good with it. Cream rises.
I agree. I'm a little nervous. I thought it was a very interesting tweet and observation from Graham. And so wanted to bring that up.
Buccaneers go to the Texans.
And Carlos Hyde worth a late round flyer. Add him to that list. Sorry. Go ahead.
We can talk about the Buccaneers wide receivers. I'm not sure Saturday taught me anything. My favorite part of this game, and it's not even close, was that Texans safety, Justin Reed, handled kickoff duties.
I saw you tweeting that, yeah.
That was amazing. It was so awesome. And I've heard nothing. I have, for as long as he's been there, I've heard nothing but good things about him. And same thing with his new regime. Like, this guy could be a longtime piece in Houston. Maybe as a kicker on top of his safety. That was cool.
He crushed it too.
It was cool, and he pulled that thing.
Then he got an assist on a tackle on the next one. So good on you. Kyme Fairbairn is still safe with his field goal job, but that was pretty cool to see Justin Reed make those kickoffs. I don't know. You want to talk about the Bucs wide receivers? Like, do you have any different opinions from what we saw Saturday?
I don't, but I think the Buccaneers. So the question that's being asked is, like, can all three Buccaneers wide receivers be started in fantasy? The answer is yes, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think I feel similar to the Buccaneers wide receiver situation as I do the Bengals in a weird spot.
Okay.
Which is that, do I think Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd can all be started in fantasy this year? I do. Do I think Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown can all be started in fantasy this year? I do. But I'm not sure I want multiple wide receivers from the same team. So if I'm looking at who am I taking from that team, I prefer Antonio Brown. I think at cost, because Antonio Brown's ADP is much lower than everyone else. His current ADP is wide receiver 43, whereas Evans is wide receiver 12, Godwin's wide receiver 17. Antonio Brown going as wide receiver 43 is insane to me. I'm at wide receiver 34, well ahead of consensus. He led the team in targets here with Brady on the field, right? He got 5 targets, Godwin 3. 3 targets for Evans as well. Godwin got the touchdown and the nice play. I just, at cost, Tyler Boyd, to me, is by far the best value on the Bengals. At cost, Antonio Brown, by far the best value on the Buccaneers. But
there's a chance, truly, truly, and this is not like this sounds like a cold take, and it probably is. There's a chance he's the best value in fantasy football this year.
Correct.
I mean that sincerely. We're talking about literally the best wide receiver in football for a decade.
Yep.
Who is going, as you mentioned, wide receiver 43 right now. And I know that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, this is one of Tom Brady's most trusted targets he's ever played with, and he's been playing for 20 years. Like, yeah. The ceiling is significant with Antonio Brown.
They lived together. Yeah. Tom Brady is personally invested. Not that Tom Brady isn't invested in all the players, but Tom Brady is personally invested in Antonio Brown's success. Once he came back last year, he had a target share over 20%.
Yep, no doubt about it. The Chargers and the Seahawks. The Seahawks win 27-0. I guess the Chargers might be right there with the Rams. No surprise. They both are, I guess, the Chargers are now head coached by Brandon Staley, who was Sean McVay's defensive coordinator last year, but basically no Chargers of note played this preseason. Matthew, you wanted to note, though, that we may have an idea of the insurance policy behind Chris Carson.
Well, you know I'm a big Chris Carson believer, right? And so, look, one of the knocks on Chris Carson is his health. I think it's overblown, but the fact is that the guy has missed time a little bit and that whoever's the lead running back of the Seahawks is certainly interesting. Rashad Penny is somebody that's been noted, you know, and been thought of all along as, like, he's going to be the backup. He's going to be the backup, but a couple of different things. First off, our mutual friend Greg Rosenthal did an article recently for NFL.com where he noted that he thought Rashad Penny might be on the roster bubble. Hard to see this. We'll see. I mean, the Seahawks use a first-round pick. That would be a massive admission of failure there if he ends up getting waived. But Alex Collins, look, had 10 carries for 37 yards. He scored a touchdown on Saturday. He's gotten about the same amount of work as Penny, maybe slightly more. Yep. So I think there's and Alex Collins is like somebody that they like in Seattle. He's bounced around the league a little bit, but he's been there. He runs hard. It's been a tough, it's been a rocky road for Rashad Penny in Seattle, to say the least. And so I thought that's interesting because I do think Chris Carson is one of those running backs who gets his backup drafted more often than other running backs because Seattle tends to go with sort of one guy.
Would be quite a story for Alex Collins, who has bounced around the league and had quite an adventure in the NFL with some promising moments earlier in his career. One more piece of news, then we want to save a minute or two to say some closing remarks. But Tyrell Williams is perhaps being overlooked this year, Matthew, especially on the heels of a tweet this morning from Adam Schefter that Breshad Perriman has been cut by the Lions. Their top four wide receivers, quite thin, Matthew. Does that mean Tyrell Williams could be a really busy guy this year?
I think he potentially could be. Look, that passing offense, I think, is going to go through T.J. Hockenson.
Right.
But as we've talked about many, many times, they're going to be a bad team. Daniel's seen a lot of bad Lions teams. Daniel's seen a lot of bad Lions teams in his life, but this one might be the worst. Like, it's a full-on rebuild in Detroit.
I don't know. I sat through 0-16, Matthew. Like, this, I don't think this
they
is
they were 4-0 in the preseason, so really 4-16.
Yeah, you're right.
Fair.
You're right.
certainly one of the worst.
One of the worst. It's going to be a rough one.
It's going to be a rough one. And so my expectation here is that Perriman was somebody that I sort of liked way back, you know, when he signed. I'm just like, you know, I've always liked Perriman. And for whatever reason, it didn't seem to work out for him in Detroit. Tyrell Williams has looked good in the preseason and limited looks. 2 for 30 on 4 targets from Jared Goff. Jared Goff hasn't played very much in the preseason, but it is worth noting that for his career, when Tyrell Williams gets looks, you know, when he's in his career, when he's gotten at least 7 targets, he averages 14.3 fantasy points per game, which last year would have been wide receiver 25. Like, he's a big play guy waiting to happen. He's struggled with injuries throughout his career, but I think this is an offense that's going to be throwing more than people think. And Tyrell Williams, again, is being undrafted in 75% of leagues. Like, he's the number one wide receiver on a team that's going to be throwing. I just think that number should go down, that 75% of leagues is being undrafted.
Yeah, maybe. It's just a matter of how much you trust the fact that he'll actually see 7 targets in a game or be available to see 7 targets in his game because 7-plus targets 16 times in his career. He's been in the league for what, 6-7 years?
Yeah. But I mean, like, he was stuck on the bench for the Chargers for a while. He was injured with the Raiders, you know, significant injury with the Raiders. Like I said, injuries have been a part of his career makeup. But I mean, like, all due respect to like Quintez Cephas and Khalif Raymond, like, it's a thin wide receiver room there in Detroit.
Yes,
I'm
sure
on Ross
is.
St. Brown, like the rookie, like that's it, right? I mean, I think those are the four guys they have on the roster at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not totally discounting what's happening. I don't know that number. I don't know that number will actually go down that much over the next 10 days or so. We've got about a minute or so left in the show. Probably not enough time to dive into another topic. So we'll just close the show, I think, by thinking of our friends in Louisiana and anywhere else that is being impacted by Hurricane Ida right now. We know that this is Sadly, a too familiar situation. We've been following the coverage. We're praying for you all, including friend of the program, Roddy Rogers, who I hope is watching the live stream right now as he does every day, my brother. I appreciate you. And everybody out there, just stay safe as best you can. And we hope that somehow, some way, as many people can get back to their normal lives at some point in due time.
I hope that everyone that was in Louisiana was able to get somewhere safe. You know, my son goes to Tulane. Yep. My son is a senior at Tulane there. And so him and his friends, like, drove. And he said the traffic, they drove on Saturday morning. They left Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And they said the traffic just to get out of New Orleans and get, I mean, they were going to stay with some friends in Texas. Took them, they didn't get there till 12:30. What should have been an 8-hour trip took them, you know, significantly longer. Wow. Just because, like, it was like, which on one hand you feel bad, but on the other hand you're like, okay, good. A lot of people are trying to get out of town and try to stay safe. So echo the thoughts of Field, and I know Field, Daniel, Stefania feel the same way, and all of us here at the 0610 do, that, you know, we're thinking of everyone in Louisiana and thinking good thoughts and praying.
Sending prayers your way. We appreciate all you, whether in that region or otherwise, that hang out with us every single day and watch the live stream. We are back tomorrow to continue with Double Trouble. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. In the meantime, anything else to close up here? That's going to do it for today. Thank you for watching the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
For Field, Daniel, Stefania, and Kyle, I'm Matthew. Peace out!
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field.